Hi. We're so excited to welcome you back to Gather to Scatter. We are Jordan, Mariah, and Rachel, three friends who love to talk about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Today, we are wrapping up the relationship series. With workplace relationships. We must gather well to scatter well. We'll laugh, we'll cry, we'll definitely be weird. Yeah. But our hope is that we will encourage you to scatter well alongside us with a solid foundation on scripture. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Girls, that was cute.
Wow. That was cute.
Are we together too much?
Have we become one
person?
Good.
Wow. That was creepy.
That's really I do that with my sister a lot.
You know, Rachel, you and I used to do that a lot.
I know.
Feel like we've really actually deteriorated. Yeah, you and I, our bodies are deteriorating. I feel like you and I have been going downhill on that. We don't really do that anymore, don't you think?
Like, we literally used to wear the same thing.
That is true.
We didn't know what each other's thinking.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, I don't really
We gotta spend more time together. We don't spend enough time together, Mariah.
That's what we're learning.
Let's fix that.
Okay, so
Rachel,
tete-a-tete today.
Okay, so I had one, but then I pivoted because of the conversation we're about to have. So I might do both. I haven't decided
yet. No. We don't make new rules here. It's one tete-a-tete.
But we get to make up the rules.
Yeah, we did.
We did. Already. We did do that.
Fine.
Okay.
We have plenty of episodes.
So, fine. We just like to have
one. Okay. I love you. We'll talk about it next time.
We are talking today about workplace relationships.
Yes.
So this is just, sometimes you got to do a job to pay the bills. Like you just do. Like
sometimes.
We live sometimes. Well, I mean, we don't all get to just do dream jobs.
That's true.
So my question is, if money were no object, what would your dream job be?
Okay. Did I tell you that I had a training this week and this was the question that they asked?
No.
Prepared.
I said professional podcaster.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it first here.
Professional podcaster. And then people asked if I had a podcast and so they're going to listen.
Good.
I know.
I love that.
You did that on purpose. What's your real dream job?
That was it.
Joe, that's so sweet. I did not know that.
Yeah. I like this.
Oh. Yeah. This is fun.
So is this a new dream job for you then?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I'm like in what my dream job was. My dream job was to be a school counselor, and I get to do that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, so Jordan's just getting to one dream after
Maybe
another.
My dream job should be wife and mother, and then I'll become that.
I feel like that also is.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
It is.
I have two. I have two in the sense of like I always say
if we can't have two tete-a-tete,
you
can't have
difference. You stop it, Joe. No.
I did just say three.
I have two that I always say like in my next life, you know, like obviously. But so I have two. One is an architect because I love buildings. Love.
Cool.
Second is a neurosurgeon.
Oh, girl.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Brain. Work on the brain.
Yeah.
I've heard that the brain smells bad, though.
I feel like most organs would.
But I feel like I've heard that the brain smells particularly bad when you cut open.
Little, you have a little mask on.
Little clothespins.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
actually, under their mask, they have a clothespin.
I have no idea.
Not a clothespin, but there's literally like a contraption to make you. It just sits there like this.
Okay,
I guess it prevents like if you have a runny nose. I don't know.
No, I don't know.
I think it's just for the smell.
Oh.
I also don't know that that's what doctors use. I just know there's literally a little thing you can put your eye on.
If we have any listeners out there who are in the surgical field, can you please DM us and let us know what the little clippy thing on the nose is for? Okay. My dream job actually kind of goes along with your first one. Interior design. Would love to do that.
You would be good at that. Your house is beautiful.
Thank you.
Amen.
I have big dreams for the house. The budget is limited.
Well, we get there slowly. We don't do it all at once.
You're also one adult versus
two
incomes. I mean, you know, like
Thanks for
not most people who own a home are two people, but like a lot of people who own a home are more than one.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I would love that. But so this makes me think of, so you said in your next life your dream job would be, do you think we'll have jobs in heaven?
Hmm.
Yeah. For sure. You love that I said that.
I love that so much. That was what I was going to say. And that was going to lead us into the content.
Oh, look at you.
Jordan did it.
She did.
She led us into the content.
Well done. What are you looking at?
Nose control.
No, let the listeners tell us.
She's got to know.
I got to know.
It's fine. None of these are what I'm envisioning anyways, so I have an idea.
What do you mean?
Content!
Ta-da!
Oh. Am I introing the content?
Yeah. It says mo content.
Oh, I didn't read that! Workplace relationships.
Yeah.
We love them. I truly do. We spend a lot of time working.
Mm-hmm.
And that may vary, right? I guess you can have an 8-to-5, you can have a contract position, but you're still spending a lot of time working.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that also depends on how, like, the different people you're spending time with, right? If you're a contractor, you're going to spend your time with a lot of different people, maybe not the same people, versus an 8-to-5, you're probably going to spend your time with the same people.
Yeah.
I did a little math equation.
Love it.
Honestly, am I starting with this? I just kind of started talking.
Yeah, start with this.
Yeah,
go for this.
Yeah. All right. So I did a little math equation.
Mariah
I love
is
me
a
some numbers.
Numbers girl. She is a numbers girl.
Not that I'm like good with numbers, but like I love.
They fascinate you.
Yeah, like I love numbers.
Anytime we're studying something in scripture and there are numbers, Mariah has done a deep dive into the numbers and it's amazing.
It's, yeah. No, well, because the numbers are there for a reason. And they're, like, very specific numbers, too. And you're like, why this number is so weird? Like, cool. Okay. So, in my mind, I'm like, well, okay. How much time are we spending with said coworkers?
Yeah.
So, 168 hours in 1 week, right?
Yeah.
56 hours of sleep in 1 week. Okay. So, really, the amount of time, if you're getting 8 hours of sleep.
Y'all are doing.
Going to bed at 8:30 is what I'm doing.
I didn't say I am.
Go to bed. I lie there.
You don't fall asleep?
I do sometimes.
I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm the same way. Remember when we talked about whether we think words in our brain or pictures?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I sit there and I'm just like creating a freaking movie in my head.
Because your words rage, right?
I'm both.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. So
remember, mine are stills.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Also,
remind
me of like just not moving goggles you have, and you just click through it. You know, the pictures.
That's what it is. What's so going on up here?
So people are just there, like
kind of.
She blinks. All right, next picture. Next picture. I use the transparent eye.
Cut.
I hope that's funny one day.
It is funny now, today, right here.
It's funny right now. We liked it. We're in.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so 106 hours in 1 week, fully awake.
168.
Yeah, so sorry, 168 hours in 1 week, fully awake. They're obviously not fully awake all day, every day.
Right.
So minus 56 hours of sleep in 1 week, and that's averaging 8 hours a night.
Hmm.
So you have 112 hours of awake time.
Okay.
Again, we're doing averages here. So the average person works 40 hours a week.
Sure.
112 hours of awake time minus those 40 hours a week equals 72 hours of awake time without work.
Wow.
But that includes the hours where you're like just waking up, and if you're like me, you don't want even anyone in your presence.
Yeah.
Which is not everyone, but and then like the hours where you're winding down at night, you know, so that's a lot of, or like your workouts or making food, and like, so 72 hours of awake time is really not that much.
Yeah.
But that's also awake time that you are awake and you are either with nobody or you're with people of your choosing.
Yeah.
Or you're with yourself.
Yeah.
Mm. And also that includes Saturday and Sunday, which are just usually you days.
Okay. Yeah.
So 40 hours of I guess that's separate. So 72 hours of time spent with people of your choice.
Yeah. Mm.
And then 40 hours of these people you're working with.
Yeah.
In comparison, that's a lot.
It's a lot of time.
Yeah. That you are having to spend with these people.
Yeah.
It's usually not a choice.
Yeah.
So it just made me think, like, that's a lot of time. You sin left, right, and center in the 72 hours of being with people of your choice or alone. 40 hours is a lot of time to spend with people and to be actively sinning or not.
Yeah.
And so it just made me think, like, wow, you really are spending a lot of time with these people and really able to show people Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I said showing on purpose. Like, yeah, you can speak Jesus, but I think this your workplace really gives you a big opportunity to be showing that you love Jesus.
Yeah.
I like it.
So that's my math equation.
Yeah.
I love that. That's fantastic. Because you obviously are going throughout your day and you're just with these people and you don't think about how much time you're actually spending with them.
Yeah.
And this, you're creating relationships with them, whether you like it or not, just because you're with them. It's like when you're in high school or in college, like you're literally just with these people all the time.
Yeah.
So I really like the idea that we're talking about work in general, because work, the reason why I loved that question earlier is because of, do we think we're going to have jobs in heaven? But it's what Jordan said. Work predates the fall. Like, work was in the world before sin entered the world. Therefore, work is good. Like, work is therefore good because God looked at what he created. Work was a part of that, and he said it was good. So we are expected to work to the glory of our Creator. Mm-hmm. And we find that in Genesis 2:15. But what that means is it is a good thing for us to be in these workplaces. They all look different. I think it'd be good. So I work in a very different environment than Jordan and Mariah work. Mm-hmm. I think it might be helpful if we kind of like talk about what our different work environments look like. So people can relate to some of what we're talking about.
Okay.
Go.
So I work in, I am an account executive for, we'll call it a tech company. It's telecom. It's tech adjacent. It's tech. I'm in a sales office, so I work with majority men, and it's majority secular men. So I work with, in my office, I think we have about 50 men.
50 or 15?
50.
Okay.
And then 3 women. Mm-hmm. So it
including
is,
you?
Including me.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah, including me. So it is a very, very interesting dynamic. So I'm in an office all day with these guys who I love. They're amazing. They're so much fun. But I am interacting and having conversations with them daily that are not necessarily conversations that Jordan and Mariah might be having with their colleagues, coworkers.
My students.
Your students. I want to call them your customers because you're serving them. So I'm like, I don't know what to call them. Because, like,
amazing.
I'm interacting with my customers.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, I am a high school counselor. Mm-hmm. Wildly different.
Yes.
Wildly different.
Jordan will talk about her day, y'all. And I'm like, my day was easy compared to this. Dealing with high schoolers.
Yeah.
We love you if you're listening.
Yes. I don't know how to briefly describe what I do. I'm going to be honest. So, when I was in high school, I spoke to my counselor about if I wanted to go to college and if I wanted to change my schedules. And the umbrella has been extended, if you will. And so now it's a lot of social emotional counseling, as well as schedule changes, making a schedule, academic, college career. So when someone's walking in the door, I have no idea what's coming in.
Yeah.
We streamline that a little bit so that they can request an appointment and they have options for, like, schedule, personal, academic, college career, other. So there's like specific things, so I kind of can gauge it, but then a kid will just like show up in a meltdown and I don't know what's going on and we gotta figure it out. Parents show up all the time, teachers show up all the time, administrators show up all the time. So I have a lot of different working relationships in my job, and then there are 4 other counselors. So the 5 of us relate to each other most of all, but we're 5 totally different personalities, which is really good for our students.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, we all relate to people differently. We understand people differently, and it's just, it's a mixed bag, but it's great.
Nice.
And I work also in tech. I work for a value-added reseller. We resell hardware and software. Mm-hmm. So with that also comes a lot of men in the environment. and I work from home, so I am not in an office with these people. I have a core team of actually now five. It's been four for the past almost 4 years now, but we have a fifth now, and it is a woman, so yeah. That has been really sweet. But I work from home with these men, and I do love them dearly. Like yeah. these guys, we talk all day every day, and now this woman as well. And I love them dearly. Like I feel so blessed to have the team that I do.
Yeah.
If I didn't, I don't know what I would be doing instead. But I feel so grateful to have them. And I also feel really grateful in that I do talk to them, mm-hmm. like, and tell them about my life. I tell them about this podcast, and like, they're so great to ask questions. And I love that too, because I think it makes it really comfortable, and it also kind of holds me accountable
mm-hmm.
When I am doing certain things, because I know that they know
yeah.
that I love Jesus. And so it's a nice reminder for me if I ever feel like I want if my tongue's getting a little too wild one day yeah. or this, that, and the other, it's a good like, oh, I'm going to delete that message altogether, because no need to say that.
Yeah.
So I do enjoy that they know about my personal life, because I do think there is a line
yeah.
that you don't need to cross with professional and personal.
Yeah.
But I also think it is good for people to know where you stand.
Yeah.
Even if it's just as subtle as, you know, wearing your cross necklace into yep. the office. Mm-hmm. And
yep.
that, you know, we'll have a topic of discussion on that a little bit later, mm-hmm. because that does not mean the same thing to everybody, unfortunately. Nope. But I know what it means to you, and I think that most everybody in your office knows what it means to you too.
Yeah. Well, and everybody in my office knows, and it does actually, it creates some conversation with my customers. So that's nice.
I love that.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we all work with all different kinds of people. I guess I didn't mention, I work with mostly women. So I'm opposite of you guys. I work in yeah. education. So I don't think a lot of people will be shocked to hear that. but like in my office, I'm thinking about what you said earlier, Mo, like the people that we're around, it's a lot of time that we could be sinful around them. And so the thing that I see most of the time working with mostly women, but the men do this a lot too, is gossip. And mm-hmm. so like there are things yeah. that we have to watch. Like you said, you know, we see in James, we have to tame the tongue. There are things that we see in scripture that we need to bring into the workplace so that we are not cursing or gossiping, doing things that are not, what's the above reproach,
mm-hmm.
doing things that are not above reproach. And so when we were talking about this, I thought like, okay, let's recognize we are all blessed that we do work with people we enjoy.
Yeah.
Such really. A blessing.
That is a blessing.
Most of the people that I work with would claim to be Christians.
Hmm.
I would say there are probably some who grew up culturally Christian, and so I don't know if they have a relationship with the Lord. I hope and I pray that they do. I think it's particularly important to consider as a Christian, as someone who is professing to have a relationship with Christ, to consider our interactions with people on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
That's something we know, but I don't know if that's something we actually think about and consider regularly. And so I have been very convicted of having an interaction with a coworker and I didn't handle it well. And so I can be a little prickly, and then I feel convicted about it, but then I'm like, but I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I'm kind of fighting the, like, I feel like I shouldn't have to say anything, but at the end of the day, I should. And so I have to go back and apologize and say, hey, I shouldn't have said this. I apologize. I hope that you can forgive me. And that is hard.
Yeah.
And so along that train of thought, I thought, like, so how do we work with the people that we don't get along with mm-hmm. as Christians? And again, for me, most of the people I work with would say they are Christians. And so when there are people who are not living above reproach, when there are people who are claiming Christ and then not showing the fruits of the Spirit, not showing the fruit of Christianity, I really struggle with that. It's something I talk to y'all about in small groups, supper club, regular friendship. But I just thought it was important to talk about here. So I found an article we were putting in the show notes, and I loved it. How to love the coworker you just can't stand. and it was so good. And, you know, it's not a particularly long article at all. But there are a few things that I thought would be helpful one in particular, this author actually quotes C.S. Lewis from Your Christianity. And I just think this is good because at the end of the day, we do need to stop and consider, okay, am I loving this person? And so what C.S. Lewis says is, do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did.
I love that.
As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you loved someone, you will presently come to love him. If you injure someone you dislike, you find yourself disliking him more. So it's like, what are you focusing on? Are you focusing on loving this person like Jesus would? Or are you focusing on whether or not you're right? And way more often than not, I am focusing on, well, I'm right in this situation. And I have to humble myself and consider, like, no. This is a person who is created by God, who God loves. And I need to act as if I love them, even if I'm having a hard time loving them right now.
Yeah.
And that's difficult.
I love that. I feel like a way that I actively do that is I think that pleasantries used to drive me crazy. And I think that when you're going in emails, I mean, emails, yeah. Pleasantries and emails.
Hope just email finds you well.
How this email found me.
Yeah, well, and I think some are a little bit, like, some people definitely are using to be passive-aggressive, not as a pleasantry.
Yeah.
But I think when you're going, like, back and forth in an email every single time, that's overkill. But when you're, like, starting an email, I purposefully say, like, I say something. And I always try and make it personal if I know the person, obviously. And then I always, like, I'm an exclamation point user regardless, like in my texts and everything. But I actively try and use them in emails as well, even if other people are like, what is this girl doing? Because it helps me, like, it helps me remember that there is another face on the other side of this screen, which can be really hard to remember when you're just staring at this thing all day, every day, and talking to people through it or talking to people on the other screen, which is your phone. It's just, I don't know why, but for me personally, like, when I am going out of my way to be at, like, even if I felt like they were wrong in an email, or even if I felt like I'm feeling annoyed or stressed out with something else, I always try and at least have my emails sound like I'm not feeling the way that maybe I am feeling, which is a negative. And when I receive an email that way as well, it makes me feel nice.
That's good. So you're humanizing people. It's so easy to, like, dehumanize when I'm reading words and I'm, like, imagining, okay, when you read an email, if you know the person, are you imagining them say it? Because I am.
Yeah, especially if I know their voice.
Yeah.
Guys.
So,
The people I actually know, yes. The people I don't know, it's hard.
But I do it for the people that I don't know as well. So I'm imagining the inflection. I'm imagining the tone. And so if I'm reading an email that seems a little snippy, I'm like, oh, this person.
Yeah. Mm.
And I'm like offended. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hold on. I don't know what's going on in their life. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on in their day. They could just be very... I almost said boring on email, but, like, very
blunt.
Not even blunt, but just like, just like, okay, here's what I'm saying. Yeah. Whereas someone like Mariah, and I do this too. I'm like, good morning, exclamation point.
I do the same thing.
Glad that blah, blah, blah. Like, hope you enjoyed your summer. Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas other people might not be. They're not wrong for doing that. And so I do. I just try to consider, like, okay, I don't know. Like, basically assuming the best. I said this to a student the other day, not in an email context, but just like, I asked a whole classroom of students, I was like, what if we just all assume the best in each other all the time? And this kid goes, man, imagine that world. I was like, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
But, like, actually, if we did that, especially in the workplace, like, I need to recognize, as a school counselor who's never been a teacher, I don't understand their job. Right. And so I don't know where they're coming from. I don't know the 80,000 things that they've had to do today. I know they've done 80,000 things.
Yeah.
But I don't know what they've been. And I have to choose to do that and act out of that instead of my frustration, or instead of assuming the worst. Mm-hmm. And that's my choice, is whether or not I'm going to choose to assume the best.
Right.
So, yeah. And so one of the verses that goes with that is Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive your inheritance as your reward. Mm-hmm. You are serving the Lord Christ.
Amen.
It's all about him.
Yeah.
Every single thing that we do all the day long, what I do as a school counselor, it's for him. Yes, I am serving these students, my customers. I'm serving these students, my parents, my administrators, my teachers. I'm serving all of them. But at the end of the day, I am doing it for the glory of the Lord and to honor the Lord, because I am his daughter and I want to honor him and I want him to be glorified. And so I think, honestly, Colossians 3:23-24, that's a good Bible verse to memorize. Like, write it on a note card, stick it on your desk, have it on your phone as a screensaver. Remind yourself throughout the day, I am going to work heartily and I'm going to do this for the Lord.
Good. So something that I do on, I don't know, the side is what we say. I do something else. And it is, I do write a blog on jobs and how to live out your faith in the workplace specifically.
Yeah, she does.
She's
good at it.
Yes.
Our little writer.
Nah. So one of the, it was tough to narrow it down because one of the,
because she's that good.
Well, no, just because I write about this a lot.
No, I'm saying
so,
it.
No, you are. The one that I really wanted to highlight, I did an article back in June on workplace culture. It was actually the second one I did on workplace culture, but the main focus was why we do the things that we do and how we interact with people. And I broke it down into four different sections, and so I'm just gonna go through those. And so, okay, I want to read something real quick. So he, while there were no office buildings or directives on office culture in Christ's time, he did give us direction in how we can affect the world around us for his glory and be the light in a dark room. Mm. So I have in some areas where we're going to be able to be the salt of the earth. That's Matthew 5:13. Yeah. Point one is kind of relating to what Jordan was saying earlier, that you have an eternal focus.
Yeah.
So this first cap, the first point kind of runs into the second point, but it's really the best place for us to start, because if we start, when we are interacting with people and we are recognizing that they are eternal beings made in the image of God who will spend an eternity in one place or the other,
yeah,
it's going to color the way we interact with them. It's going to be able to give us a lot more compassion for them on a day-to-day basis. Mm. It's going to be able to give us a lot more understanding when people are going through things, and it's going to allow us to take sin more graciously. That does not mean be doormats, let people run over you, but it does mean recognize that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But some verses that back up that all people have an eternal destination are John 3:16-36. And then Matthew 25, basically the whole chapter, it goes through the parable of the talents. And then it also goes through, the people, whenever Christ, is at the door and some will say, Lord, Lord, and he will say, I didn't depart from me. I did not know you. And then another portion is Romans 6:23. So all of these, just will give us a different perspective on how we treat others, whether we're talking to the cleaning lady who fills the napkin boxes or the CEO of our company. Mm-hmm. So the second part is remember who you are. So just as everybody else has an eternal destination, so do we. And if we are followers of Christ, then we need to do what we can to reflect him well. So Christian actually means little Christ. That does not mean that we are little gods. I want to make that clear. Mm-hmm. But that does mean that we reflect our Creator. So we want to remember what Paul said, where it's you reflect me as I reflect Christ. Yeah. So we are to be imitators of him. So when people do look at us, whenever they are seeing us in our day-to-day interactions with our students, with our coworkers, with our customers, and they're seeing how we're interacting, and then they see us not in those interactions and how we respond to those people when they're not in the room, that's going to color their view of Christ.
Yeah.
So some verses on that, just remembering that we are to look different than the people of this world, are Romans 12:2, Colossians 3:7-11, 1 Peter 2:9-11, Luke 6:32-36, and John 13:35. And we'll put all of these in the show notes if you want just some light reading. But there's just so many parts of scripture that allow us to see our true position as kingdom ambassadors. The third point is going to be probably one of the hardest in our today's day and age, especially in America, and that is we are supposed to respect authority. Respect and honor authority, because it is ordained by God. So we believe in a sovereign God who has placed people in positions according to his will and to his glory. That does not mean there are going to be people who that we might like, or who
we voted for,
or who we wanted as a boss. I have a fantastic boss, but that hasn't always been the case.
Shut up.
So it is especially tough when our superiors are not Christians. And so what I said, we're not saying that there isn't a time and place to stand up for what you believe in when things are in direct conflict with God's direction, but part of his instruction is to respect authority. So he established in Romans 13:1, 1 Peter 2:13-15, 1 Peter 2:17, and Jeremiah 29:7, just a few instances where we are to look at how we interact with those who are in positions of authority. So the last thing is just kind of wrapping it all up, is to love and serve this world. So it goes back to what Jordan and Mariah were both saying, where it's the best way for us to influence culture and the way things happen is when we do imitate Christ. So when we love others, when we serve others with a servant's heart, Romans 12:10, it's going to look different. There are a lot of people in this world who appear to be nice, but they are doing it to get something, or they are just thinking that it adds up brownie points for them in the quote afterlife. But when you love the Lord and you recognize that there is no small act in God's economy, nothing goes unnoticed. So that is kind of wraps up that. And there, we'll have a link to that blog if y'all want to see it. So
yeah,
you want to see it.
You do.
You want to read it.
All it's of them. Fun.
They're good.
They are good.
They are. They're, you work hard on them. They're good.
I love writing.
Good.
But.
And you love working. Yeah. So you love writing about working.
I do love writing about working.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
Yeah. Working is fun.
It is. Working, we were made to work.
It is hard.
Yeah.
But what is not?
It's a pick your hard.
Pick your hard, or people.
Or don't just work through it. Yeah. That's still hard.
I know. Yeah.
You're picking.
But you're not picking that.
Well, by not working, you're picking it.
You could always quit.
True that.
Yeah.
Man, that's good. I wanted to share a few things in that same article, just like practical.
Not my article, the other one.
Yes, true. but read Rachel's. Just like things you can do while you are striving toward loving someone who might be hard to love. And so saying hello each day, not ignoring them, it helps you to acknowledge and humanize them. Like, hey, I'm recognizing your existence. Just like, hey, hope you have a good day. Like, you don't have to open up a big conversation, but just actually talking to them. And then, you know, hopefully we all have someone at work that we could like partner up with, someone that we can talk to, download hard things, not gossip, but like I have a dear friend who I work with who's also a believer, and so I can go to her and say like, hey, I'm really struggling with this, and so I need you to be praying for me because I need to go and talk with this person, this student, this teacher, whoever, and I'm having a really hard time assuming the best in them. And so we can talk about it. We can talk about it over lunch. We can close the door of one of our offices, and so she can help me before I enter into a hard conversation. And then it's also nice because we can celebrate with each other when good things are happening.
What do we think that looks like, though, when it's not another Christian?
Okay, so yeah, we don't always get to necessarily have someone at work, but that is when, and we've talked about it so many times on this podcast, that's when it is so important to have community so that you can talk to people about what's going on in your life. They don't necessarily have to have the same job as you to understand situations and circumstances.
Yeah.
So.
I do think there is a world, though, I go to my work dad with things, not in a gossipy way, but I go to him in things that are upsetting me. Mm-hmm. And he is really good at helping me come to solutions with them.
You go to him for guidance.
Exactly. Yeah. So I do think there's also a world where you don't have to, you can go to your non-believer, secular coworker. Yeah. You just have to make sure how you're delivering your message is appropriate. Because if you're going with it sounding gossipy, it's easier for them to take it and to run with it.
Yeah.
But if you're going and like you said, kind of more in like a guidance way, it's easier for them to reciprocate how you're perceiving.
Okay. Yeah. And I think also prepare yourself to have to walk it back. Because if you do enter in with all good intentions, seeking guidance, going to a mentor, going to a coworker, coming to a friend, and it starts to turn into gossip, prepare yourself to have the boldness to say, like, hey, I really don't want to talk poorly about this person. Mm-hmm. And I can absolutely see myself slipping, like, say to the person, I could see myself slipping into that. Can you just give me some advice on how to deal with this right now? Mm-hmm. So that, like, when you'll probably have to, you're going to interrupt yourself, your stream of thought, or theirs, but you're doing it out of love to protect and honor the other person. Like, man, I really don't want to slip into gossip. I don't want to talk poorly about another person. I'm just struggling and I need help on how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Because those are different things.
Definitely. I also, too, think this one is really hard. And this one, you really, I think you need to take some time and sit on it too. But a lot of that gossip can be alleviated if you go to the person directly who you are struggling with.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And again, I know that can be hard. A lot of people don't like confrontation, but I also think confrontation has such a negative connotation. You can look at it more as like resolution. Even if that person doesn't even know that you're struggling, you look at it as just trying to find resolution versus confronting them about something.
It's not confrontation, it's conflict resolution. That person might not know
exactly
that you're in conflict with them, but you are, and you're struggling. And so you can go to them and like put it on their timetable. Like, there's a difference between if I'm having a problem with Rachel and then I go to Mariah and I seek guidance. There's a difference in me approaching Rachel and saying, hey, we need to talk because we have a problem, versus, hey, I've been struggling with something lately. Let me know when you have time to talk about it.
We can talk after this.
Perfectly.
I'm fine, yo.
Yeah, always. But it matters how we present it, like you're saying. Like, those are two total, like, we could get to the same spot, but the first one, the tone is different. But two, the word that I'm using, like, our verbiage matters.
Yeah.
And so consider, like, hey, I'm recognizing, like, you're working full-time. There is something that I need to talk about, but I'm not going to just full-on interrupt. Let me know when you have a minute. And they might say, like, yeah, what's going on? Mm-hmm. But you bring it up because you have to be the one to bring it up. And then you are resolving it.
Yeah.
And obviously it's situational, but for an example, like, I have had to do this in the past, and I was able to go to a coworker and say, like, hey, I want to apologize with the tone that I used yesterday, because I recognized after the fact that I kind of, like, sniffed at you, and that wasn't loving, so I apologize for that. I would like to talk about what we were disagreeing about when you have a minute.
Yeah.
And then that coworker was like, yeah, absolutely.
I think that humility of recognizing where we are wrong goes a long way as
it
well.
It disarms.
Yeah. And it's
but
not.
It's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. And it's not just like when you are specifically in conflict with someone, but because I know I've done it where I've actually apologized to a coworker because I said something that was derogatory about another coworker. He literally didn't even remember it. He was like, oh, I didn't know you said that. And I was like, okay, but I did. And I needed to apologize to you because I should not have said it like that. I should not have said that about him to you.
Yeah.
And having the humility to say, hey, my tone wasn't great when we had this conflict. I should not have said that. Well, one, it will differentiate us, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And then also I would say, pray for them.
Yeah.
Pray for the Lord to soften your heart towards that person. Literally pray, Lord, give me your eyes for them. Mm-hmm. Give me your love for them. When I have to interact with them, help me to hear with your ear so that I can truly get to know this person and love them as you would. Like, guys, we have to spend more time talking to our Savior. We have to. the Bible says prayer without ceasing for a reason. God wants us to come to him with all of these things, with our workplace relationships, with our friendships, with all of these things. Mm-hmm. The day-to-day, he cares about it. It's not only big ticket items. Those are important too. But when you're feeling grumpy, not the biggest deal in the world, but take it to him. Mm-hmm. Like, Lord, I got to get through this workday and I'm in a horrible mood. Yeah. I need you to give me the strength that I need, the endurance that I need. Give me your love, your kindness, your patience. Pray that the Holy Spirit will give you the fruits of the Spirit that you are not feeling in that moment. And he will do it. Mm-hmm. And pray for that person. Pray for their salvation. Pray that, you know, the Holy Spirit would soften their heart. They would recognize their need for Jesus and that they would find someone in their life. Maybe it'll be you to come to and say, like, hey, like, I've heard you talk about Jesus. Like, whatever you, we don't know how Jesus is going to use us. We just know that he chooses to, which is wild.
Just such a blessing.
So open yourself up to it.
Yeah.
And say, like, all right, use me. But don't let me get in your way, Lord.
Yeah. That's good.
It's good. Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We love to hear it.
Yeah, love prayer.
Too. Well, maybe work, there work, will work, be. Work. Oh, good. Good, good. Love that. That's a good ending. Mm. That's a good way to end it. Rachel serenading us.
Yeah.
Maybe there will be more discussion about work in the future.
Yeah.
It does take up a lot of our time and our life, which is a blessing. But thank you all so much for listening to Gather to Scatter. Next week, we are on a new series.
Yeah.
The series is called What in the World?
What in the world?
What in the world?
What in the world does that even mean, y'all?
Okay,
girl. Okay, okay, California.
Our California girl.
Georgia. I'm a Georgia Peach.
Georgia Peach. Never leaving.
Welcome.
So our next week, we're going to start a new series called What in the World. Our first episode is going to be around church culture.
Mm. Yeah.
The good and the bad.
Yeah.
Maybe some of the ugly.
You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just search Gather to Scatter. Subscribe, like, and follow below.
Goodbye.
Thanks, guys.
Love you.